This is In the Spotlight, where we shine the light on college students, our lived experiences, and the research to help us thrive. We're coming to you from the Clemson Honors College as part of CCARE, a special research group in the Creative Inquiry Program. My name is Taryn, and I'm a senior biological sciences major and sociology minor at Clemson.
Hi, friends. My name is Ashley, and I'm a senior genetics major and psychology minor at Clemson.
Hey, my name is Aaron, and I'm a senior computer science major and philosophy minor at Clemson.
Hey, everyone. My name is Nathan. I'm also a senior computer science major, and I'm a cybersecurity minor here at Clemson.
Hi, guys. I'm Julia, and I'm a construction science and management major here at Clemson. So how are we doing on 1 to 5 today?
Well, I had a really good weekend. I went to my bridal shower, and I also went to my younger cousin's football game, hence why I'm losing my voice. I was screaming in the cold air, but we're going to work it out.
High school football. Brings me back.
Yeah, but that's... Oh, I guess I never said a number. Out of five.
Nice. I think I'd put myself at a 5 as well.
Yay!
I know. I got to see some family this weekend for my grandpa's birthday. It was nice. It was nice to see them. You know, I actually have like food with me today. I actually got like a full packed lunch. Taryn got me like some coffee and things. Recording the podcast. Weather's nice. It's a good day so far. I got a lot of stuff due later tonight, so that's always a little stressful. But we're gonna take a look at the positive side of things today.
Oh, that's nice. I'd say I'm at like a 4. I have 2 exams this week, so kind of stressing over that, but okay. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I had a good weekend too. I got to visit my roommates' families in their hometown, so that was cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool seeing where they're from and getting to meet all their family, so I enjoyed that.
Well, I would say I'm at a 5 today. Today is a great day. This week should not be as hard as last week. Last week I had 2 tests. This week I have a test and the class is not as difficult. So it just feels like I have a lot more time this week to relax and slowly go through my week. This weekend, I got to visit some soon-to-be family, and that was a great time. Had a lot of food. Really great. So yeah, I would say I'm at a 5.
Fun. I would say that I am probably also at a 4, 4.5, somewhere around that range. I also had a good weekend. I got to go home and see family and get some warm clothes. It was starting to get a little cold in the mornings, and I had like 1 sweatshirt. So that was exciting, but it was also just good to be home and relax for a little bit. So for the last several weeks, we've been researching confidence and how it affects college students, and we're going to continue to talk about that topic with you today. So confidence can be viewed through 2 different lenses, social and academic. So when focusing on social confidence, what has been your experience with this throughout college?
I've had an up and down journey. I think that coming in my first year... And I think I talked a little bit about this, but coming out of one of the most competitive processes of trying to get into college and then finally getting here, I think you're still kind of in that competitive mindset of trying to see how you rank up against other people. So I remember hearing a lot of, oh, what was your ACT score? What was your SAT score our first year, like when we first came in? Mm-hmm. And that was like unsettling because like, oh, okay, we're still talking about these numbers that got us into this space. And so I think I felt very overwhelmed by the social pressure to like be perfect or like do really well. And I think some of our articles also talk about that, and we'll get into it. Anyone else feeling social pressure? Was it just me feeling social pressure?
I feel social pressure right now.
I would say that I definitely did. I think for me, it was interesting because of having COVID happen kind of in my, for most of, I guess, or all of my sophomore year. I came in freshman year feeling like I kind of had community. But then I think at the end of sophomore year, I hadn't really like connected with people. So I started to feel that social pressure of like, oh, I'm supposed to have friends by now, or like, I'm supposed to, you know, have good community. I'm supposed to know, like, I just think that I started to feel very behind because I was like following this timeline or the standard that was set by no one really. But I just thought that that's what was, you know, where I was supposed to be. And so I think I definitely struggled kind of at the start of junior year almost with like, oh, maybe it's never going to happen for me. Or like, maybe I, you know, I'm just like not going to find community here. So I think social pressure, is a real whenever it seems like there's a specific timeline that things are supposed to happen. But I think patience is something that I learned. And I realized that like given time, like things do work out and I did find friends. It's just something that I have to learn to give time, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think patience is not something that like I thought a lot about coming in my first year, especially because I thought I was going to be good at everything right away. Mm-hmm. Or even if I wasn't good at everything, I thought everyone, so like we would all be the same. So everyone right. is either really struggling or like everyone is doing really well, but I didn't expect me to see people doing well and then me not be doing as well. And so that looking externally was really hard on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think coming from like college or like from high school too, where you have like the same kind of people that you're always like comparing yourself to, and then mm-hmm. you get to college and it's like a whole different pool for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was also going to comment on coming from high school to college, where I was really fortunate where I had a great friend group in high school mm-hmm. that like really supported me. And I feel like when you have that group, it does give you social confidence to extend mm-hmm. yourself in other areas. So transitioning into college when you don't have that group immediately surrounding you, you're just like, you know, you're kind of more standoffish. You're not as confident going into social situations. But, you know, I gained that group, but it just took a longer amount of time than mm-hmm. I expected, especially looking at, like, social media when you see everyone, like, posting mm-hmm. with, like, all these people looking yep. like they're having some fun. You're like, wait, why am I not at that stage yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. My transition from high school was interesting because I was in the magnet program, and so a lot of the students I was in class with were all like the high performing students and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people saw me and they would compare me to other people and say, see, you're like better than them, or like, oh, you're probably gonna be valedictorian, all these things. And I think that kind of went into my confidence, even though I wasn't the one comparing myself to everyone, but everybody was comparing me to other people. So when I come to college, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And so I would see people and be really happy for them when they are doing really well, you know, and getting all these internships and all that stuff. But there's nobody looking at me saying, oh, you're doing so much better than everybody else. And then it's just like, oh, I don't understand this as well as these other people. Well, I didn't get this certain internship. And I think that comparison made it more difficult for me to have that confidence. And then socially, it's similar in the sense that people would seek out those friendships and those social groups. I think that I tended not to, and I think maybe it was kind of a fear to kind of talk to other people and put myself out there. It's like I want friends. I want these friend groups that people seem mm-hmm. to find, and they're like just really great and all the things. And I felt like there were some friend groups that were there that were inviting me in, and I noticed that I did not say yes, even though I still had the desire. Mm-hmm. And I think that relates to one of our articles that was actually about eating disorders, sociotropic cognition and eating disorder attitudes and behavior in young adults. So basically it kind of talked about how like this need for approval and pleasing others and how that can lead to things like eating disorders, stress eating, stuff like that, emotional eating. And also it could be different things of like comparing yourself to other people or needing to fit in can lead to you not wanting to express yourself to other people and fear that the connection with other people would kind of decrease. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very interesting because I related to it a little bit, not necessarily about the eating disorders, but in other ways, just secluding myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that definitely touches on like external feel, like trying to seek validation externally. And that is something that is tied to confidence. And I think we're kind of talking about how like high school does set you up to be like, all of my confidence is coming from external circumstances. Or, I mean, it can still be like more the intrinsic confidence, especially with friend groups, like you were saying. I think there is a big shift, though, that we have to make going to college from like that extrinsic source of confidence to having a more intrinsic source of confidence.
Right.
There's also not only extrinsic and intrinsic sources, but also extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. Because, yeah, you're going to have a lot of situations kind of just thrust upon you when you're in high school and other similar levels of education, because you don't have the freedom that college and other higher levels of education brings you. So as a result of that, you're kind of just, there's a lot more go with the flow, I think. And I think that my experience with like, not only that people pleasing, but not only people pleasing and finding my own source of motivation, but also like tying back to the peer pressure that you guys were talking about, social pressure. My experience was very odd in that sense, I think, because in high school I had a pretty solid group of friends, and then I came into Clemson knowing no one. And then, you know, as I've mentioned before in previous episodes, I came in freshman year during COVID, and I was in my own little bubble. And it was odd because I felt social belonging because I got really, really lucky with the group of roommates that I had. So I had this little bubble of people where I was like, okay, I've got like three or four people that like I'm close with and I really enjoy being around. And that's great. And I felt social belonging in that sense, especially since, you know, I came in expecting to know quite literally no one. But I didn't feel any sort of social belonging with the rest of campus. So I didn't begin to feel any of those like desires for people pleasing or like motivating myself to increase my own sense of belonging and spread out to talking with other people. I didn't feel any of that really until my sophomore year, where I really did have to learn the whole, you know, extrinsic, intrinsic motivation, because I was like, yeah, I have these classes, but man, unless I put in the effort, it is not going to happen.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that now that you say that. We're like, my freshman year, unfortunately, my first semester, we didn't even go because of COVID, so I was home. But my second semester, I was able to make really good friends where I had that sense of social belonging, but I still didn't feel like I like was a part of the school community. And that like, not degrades confidence, but you know, you want to feel like in high school, like I was involved in a lot of organizations and after school activities. And I was like, okay, like I felt like part of the school and it gave me confidence in school. But then when I came to college where there's so many people, you don't know everyone. I wasn't a part of all these organizations. I definitely lacked in confidence in that area while I still felt social belonging. So I totally understand what you're saying, where it can be two different things and they do kind of interplay with each other.
I think you guys are also pointing to, I think to put language to it, when we've done research in the past, like the difference between social belonging and institutional belonging, and that you can feel social belonging with your friend group, but maybe not feel that sense of institutional belonging, and that the social belonging can give you a lot of confidence and can be that source of like intrinsic motivation to meet people and go out and feel like you're getting involved. But also missing that piece of like institutional belonging can make you feel a little lost in the college scene. So I definitely see what you both were pointing at there.
Yeah. And I think they're both branches of social belonging, with like having a friend group and institutional belonging. But one is more oriented to like how you interact with friends. It's more laid back, while institutional belonging, it's like your purpose at campus.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that this is interesting because something that Aaron was saying about people pleasing, I just had a thought and I wanted to see what everyone thought about it. So does anyone think that like that aspect of people pleasing maybe contributes to people not wanting to talk about their more like negative experiences during their first year? Like, would it be the case that if I think that everyone's doing well, like, do I feel like that need to people please within my friend group and be like, okay, everyone else is doing pretty good. Like, let me talk about like the good things that happened to me this week. Like, let me not talk about this test that I'm doing or a class I'm doing really, like I'm really struggling in.
100%. Like, yeah. I was just thinking, as soon as you said that, like, when you go home for, like, Thanksgiving break and you, like, your aunt's like, how's your experience? And
you're
like,
my gosh,
it's good. It's good.
I love college.
You're like, no, it's so bad. It's so bad.
A's?
Yep.
So, yeah. All A's. Every semester.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, did you watch the game?
Yeah. I think, too, it's, like, an aspect of not wanting to burden people. Like, you feel like, for some reason, which does play into people pleasing, but it's like, oh, I can't share this or, like, talk about this experience because I don't want to put that on other people or, like, you know, ruin their experience or any of these things. And so I think a lot of times it holds us back from, like, being able to actually talk about things. And gaining the confidence to talk about them because you have that fear of, like, wanting to please others and fear of, you know, burdening people with your struggles and all of that.
I actually struggled a little bit with this last semester. I think that I was having a bad experience in a class, and there was a project due very soon, and I had waited to do it, and also it was a little confusing for me, and I had a friend. Actually, it was Jason. So Jason's not here right now because he's in law school.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Mm-hmm. But we were in the same class and he already completed the project. And I was too afraid to ask him for help because I was like, oh, he's going to know that I waited too long. And he's going to think, I don't know what I'm doing. And I should know what I'm doing because I'm a junior. Like, oh, I should know what I'm doing. So there's a little fear associated with that. But I did ask him and he was like completely willing to help me. And I think that sense of not wanting to tell him in fear that he's going to think less of me, I think it's kind of that people-pleasing aspect and then not wanting to share any negative experiences that I'm not doing well. And then even asking for help, you have to first admit that, so it becomes difficult.
Yeah, I think even in our, like, Ashley and I, that conversation we had that kind of started a lot of the podcast being set in motion, I think in that conversation, I was nervous that, I don't know, if I share this aspect of my life, it's very easy to reject it and be like, oh, well, I'm not experiencing that. And it's like, well, I feel like I'm even more like in a corner than I did before. Like, not only am I like the only one in my mind experiencing this, but now by talking to someone else, it has validated that I am the only one experiencing this one thing. But I think that is just not true. That has, like, I don't think that's been the experience in the story. Like, Aaron, you were talking about with Jason. That wasn't the experience when Ashley and I had a conversation. And so I think there is, like, power in that vulnerability of opening up to people and sharing your actual experiences because it's, I don't know, I think you very rarely come across someone who is like 100% confident their first year when they come in and is like, I have all the friends, I have all the grades, like, don't talk to me because I'm doing amazing. Like, that is just not realistic.
And it plays, oh, sorry.
No, you can go ahead.
It plays a lot into that whole idea of rejection, I think, and how, like, a lot of things that I think hold us back when it comes to confidence in social scenes is just that fear of being rejected, that fear of like, oh, they're gonna, you know, tell me this, that they're doing great, and then I'm gonna feel like even more closed off. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, like you were saying, it's just learning that like that rejection, if it were to happen, isn't a personal thing, and that like most likely there is somebody else out there who is going to be open to talk about the harder things or share in the experiences that you are going through. And so I think it's just learning that like, okay, this isn't because of me. This is just something. So like I can learn from this and like still go talk to other people about these things. And like not closing yourself off because of one potential like bad experience. Yeah, because I mean, like you were saying, it's like majority of us have experienced good interactions with people when we did, you know, open up. So,
yeah, that just reminds me of an experience I had with like one of my home friends who wasn't loving her college experience as well. And it started off with like, you know, when we would call and I'd be like, yeah, I'm all right. And she'd be like, yeah, I'm like, all right. I'd be like, but it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks. And then, like, you know, after talking to her, I just felt so much better, like, slowly opening up. And we both were going through a lot of the same situations where we just, when I said we weren't loving it, we were kind of hating it. We just kind of hated our college experience at first. And it was so nice to, like, hear someone else going through the same thing and just gave you someone to talk to about it. And, like, fortunately for me, like, I was able to, like, switch schools because that was the issue for me. Mm-hmm. And it led me to Clemson, so much better things. So I think talking about things can initiate steps to make the situation better, too. Where if you hold it in, you're not going to be able to, like, think, okay, how can I make this better? You're just kind of going to dread on it. It's just going to sit in the back of your head. So when talking to people, they can motivate you to get out of that zone.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that I even have an experience of not talking to people and kind of how that led me down like a path of like being like, oh, I feel like I'm really not good at this college thing. I think my first year I saw everyone doing really well in like the intro to engineering class. And it's basically like a physics class, but I didn't take physics in high school, but a lot of people had because they enjoyed this like area. And so I saw that everyone immediately, they were like so good at what everyone kept quoting as basic conversions. And I was like, this is my first time seeing these conversions because I did not do that in high school. Mm. And I think that's so important because when you come from high school and you go into your first year of college, you're not all on the same playing field. Like, that's the way that it goes. When you come from high school to college, you're not all starting at the same place. And so I think I took that as everyone is so much smarter than me. I can't be friends with some of these people because they know everything and I know nothing. And I'm getting B's on the test that they're getting 100% on. And so I think in those moments, I could have, if I had talked to someone else, they would have told me, oh, my English class is like the one that I'm struggling with. And I'd be like, oh, I took AP English. I know a lot of the things that you're talking about and vice versa. So I think that was an opportunity for me to talk to someone and get a healthier perspective on how their first year was going. And I did not do that. And I think that it made that semester very stressful for me because I built up this idea and made a perception that people were just a lot better at doing this thing than I was and did not put it in context at all. This is my first time seeing a lot of this material. Mm-hmm.
I think another really big piece of context that's important to keep in mind, and it cycles back to what both Ashley and Julia were saying. I think that when you have these interactions, a large part of the reason why they tend to be so positive when you're expressing these concerns, when you're in this vulnerable state with another person, they are, and we may have chatted about this in a previous episode before, they are almost always in the exact same situation. Maybe it's a different class, maybe it's a slightly different subject within that class, but everyone has their own insecurities, everyone has their own things that they're struggling with. Chances are the problem that you're experiencing, someone else is experiencing as well. So when someone is able to step up and actually own that and bring that to the conversation, it makes it so much easier for the other person to be able to open up as well, which is a huge part of why those sorts of conversations tend to be so positive. And that doesn't just apply to, you know, that doesn't just apply to being like, oh, my college experience is kind of difficult, or oh, I'm struggling in this class. I mean, if you're wanting to just like strike up a conversation with someone, right, that you have barely chatted to before, or maybe never at all, chances are they wouldn't mind starting up a conversation either, but it's putting yourself in a vulnerable state and it's difficult to do. So when one person's able to do it, it makes it a lot easier for the other person to chime in, and it usually leads to much more positive experiences.
Wow. That was very well said.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Sums it up nicely.
Yeah, I think, yes, that is a great way to, I don't know, kind of capture a lot of what we're saying here about vulnerability and confidence and how in some ways for social confidence, there is a layer of vulnerability that is necessary to start to build that confidence higher. So we also read an article called College Students' Experiences with Diversity and Their Effects on Academic Self-Confidence, Social Agency, and Disposition Toward Critical Thinking. And I think that article really showcased the ability that college has to expand the way that you think about the world and about mm-hmm. yourself. And so it showed this correlation between being a part of activities or classes that have diverse perspectives mm-hmm. and how that affects your critical thinking, and that it actually like promotes and builds like critical thinking in people when they are part of diverse groups or hearing different perspectives than their own. Mm-hmm. And so I think this article just made me wonder what experiences like we've had with expanding our either our circle of friends or going into a class that made us think about things differently. I think the honor seminars can do a really great job of that. I just wanted to see, I don't know, what experiences we've had with that.
With diversity experiences and that sort of
thing. Yeah, within that realm of just anything mm-hmm. that when you come to college, I feel like you're exposed to a lot of different clubs or people who mm-hmm. have different mm-hmm. thoughts or classes where you're like, I yes, would have never yes. really thought about something in that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah, I definitely think that like what you were saying about, you know, being in seminars or classes that are very discussion based. I feel like any class that I've had where I'm able to like contribute and hear from other students has been really beneficial, especially because I feel like in college, everyone has such different views and like comes from all over, mm-hmm. Which is really, I think, helps to just open my mind to a lot of things. But I definitely think that like any seminar I've taken, like through honors or even like this semester, I'm taking classes for my major, but it's like very discussion based. And we talk a lot about like science and like different values people have. And so it's interesting because it kind of changes, I guess, like my view and experiences with the way that I view science. And I think in some ways like that does play into my confidence even in that class, because I feel like, oh, I have something to contribute to the class, and like I'm seen as an individual in this class, and like my professor knows my name in this class. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and I can have deep discussions with people in the class too. So it provides a little more social confidence when I'm like going to class and talking to these people versus just like sitting in a lecture. So,
yeah, I definitely agree with the honors seminar. It made me think of this one class I took last semester, which was Black Woman Directors of the U.S. Oh, cool. And it was so specific, like minority-based directors in the arts. And I have, you know, as a construction management major, all my classes are like nails, hammers, numbers. So it's so different for me. And when I first signed up, I was like, oh, like, I'm not really into arts. Like, I'm not going to like this. But it was the last class. Ended up being one of my favorite classes of the semester. I just learned so much and was so dialogue-based. Where in the class, we just watch movies and then talk about it the whole time. I just learned so many different perspectives in that class. And every time I was just so excited to go because it was so different from my other class structures and mm-hmm. so much more communication-based. I just loved it. So that was a really cool experience I had that, like, diversified my view of, yeah. like, what learning is in college. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's been all my philosophy classes and even one class that combines ethics and computer science. So basically talks about the ethics of creating computers, computer algorithms and AI, all that stuff. And I think that when we're in discussions in like the lab sections, having people who all have different backgrounds, and I know computer science isn't the most diverse kind of major, but I know even I think one of the things that really point to the significance of this diversity is like the fact that women weren't always in higher education, and just adding the extra layer to some like old material that people used to have adds like a completely different layer. Mm-hmm. So like in my philosophy classes, it's like they don't consider women at all. And so then when you get these female philosophers who come in, and then you also have people in the classes just sharing their experiences, it just adds like a completely new layer to it. And like just that diversity of like including half the population changes everything. Also having different perspectives of different people, people from different places, different ethnic backgrounds, all those things just mm-hmm. continue to add more layers. And it really rounds out all these theories that these people used to have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think those diversity experiences just really shape how you view the world. And I think my philosophy classes have demonstrated that very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I think so far what I'm hearing is a lot of like being able to understand more about the world and understand more in our classes by having conversations and having that dialogue. It means that we can better put ourselves in context mm-hmm. of the world. And so I think that does build a lot of confidence knowing that you know more now because of this class, like mm-hmm. you know more about other people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I think that that for me definitely gives me confidence knowing that I understand things better, especially from different like viewpoints that I wouldn't naturally think about or hadn't heard about in high school at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sociology for me would like open this gateway into understanding things that I had seen in the world, but explaining it. And then I felt so confident to be able to talk mm-hmm. to people mm-hmm. about like those topics, because it is about the world, it is about people. And I think even the honor seminars I've been in have captured the way that the world works in a way that is so easy to learn and easy to communicate back to friends. And mm-hmm. I love that.
Definitely. That made me think like about transitioning your institutional classes about diversity into like social conversations mm-hmm. where it promotes like question asking. Like if you yes. don't know something, you can ask. Cause like mm-hmm. when you're in the academic setting of that, like they promote questions, like things are supposed to be new to you mm-hmm. and taking those experience into like social context where someone's talking about like a worldview that you're not familiar with. You can be like, oh, that's interesting. What's that? Like, it doesn't always have to be like, especially with like cancel culture right now. Like, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to ask anything because I'm worried about anything. Like, I feel like just bringing that to institutional classes and learning about things diversifies your view and helps you like know how to ask questions, which is very good.
For mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. That I think is a great point. I think asking questions and being mm-hmm. able to ask them within your friend group or even people that you're not friends with, but you're just interested in their life. I think that the academic sphere can be a place where you can practice that in a safe space and then take that back into like the social sphere for sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to share kind of because it just kind of like encompasses a lot of what we were talking about with like the asking questions in class as well as like talking just in social situations in our discussions about vulnerability. There's this quote by Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about vulnerability, but I love this quote, and so I looked it up real quick to share it. But it says, vulnerability is not winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up and be seen when we have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It's our greatest measure of courage.
Oh, love that. That's great.
Yeah. So just thought I would share. I think just kind of what we were saying about like being sure to ask questions and kind of that mm-hmm. fear that we have. I think a lot of times we do tend to view that as a weakness mm-hmm. and as like, you know, something that kind of takes away from confidence. But like learning that vulnerability is actually like one of our greatest forms of courage, and like using vulnerability as a way to build confidence is an interesting perspective.
Yeah, because I think that mm-hmm. confidence without vulnerability is very shallow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. You're not really, I don't think it's true confidence.
I agree.
You'd be very defensive. Yeah. Because,
mm-hmm. you know, like I'll look at people who can be super vulnerable and mm-hmm. like in social settings, even with people they're not close with, I'm like, mm-hmm. that's a confident person.
Exactly.
I think they definitely go hand in hand.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Well, does anyone have anything to add to this conversation?
College is a diversity experience.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
You come out of high school often, you know, for a lot of people, you were friends with the same group of people for mm-hmm. so many years.
Yes.
And then provided that you go to, you know, a college where you aren't spending the same amount of time with the same group of people, which chances are you're not going to be able to, even if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be introduced to a wider group of people. You are going to be introduced to a more diverse group of people. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of that opportunity.
Yes.
Yep.
Meet new people. Find people outside of your major. Meet people with different experiences and views of the world. Grow as a person. Be vulnerable.
Yeah.
100%.
One of the articles we didn't really touch on one of the things I loved from it was how it highlighted how the quality of interactions matter more than the quantity of interactions. So I think those interactions when you're vulnerable, or like those conversations that you guys were all able to point to when you were like relating to people saying, yes, this is hard. It was the quality of that interaction more than necessarily the quantity of people you happen to talk to.
I agree.
And that article was College Students with Disabilities, Factors Influencing Growth in Academic Ability and Confidence. And that really focused on how disabilities are socially constructed when the environment fails to meet the needs of an individual. And it really kind of points to institutions meeting people with disabilities' needs and kind of the support that they may need to keep those confidence levels high. And it was pretty, it was really interesting because I think that when you, there's different types of disabilities, and like the learning disabilities, oftentimes teachers and faculty don't necessarily acknowledge them the same way that they should. But it's really that being able to talk about it openly gives you more confidence versus when it's not talked about or teachers kind of dismiss it, or you have that fear that other people around you are going to interact with you differently or judge you based off that. You don't really have that confidence. So I thought that that really played well into what we're kind of talking about with confidence.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
It is.
And that kind of reminded me of the one article, Experience of Earned Success, where you have these destabilization periods that everyone goes through, and that allows for vulnerability, because the article mentioned like destabilization experiences, they are what you make of them. So taking them and being vulnerable with them and opening up, that's when you're going to learn from them.
That's a great point. Wow, you guys just like dropped all of this great like knowledge and wisdom right at the end. Like that's
quick little
amazing.
One, two, three.
I know. I was like, this is
anything else to add? Everything.
I know. I was like, oh, okay. Wait, we're not done. We're not done at all.
Like actually, like 10 more things.
Yeah. All right. Well, in that case, I suppose we're gonna go ahead and sign off. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. If you have any exams coming up, good luck with those.
Yay!
Get your assignments done, stay cool, and we will see you on the next episode of In the Spotlight.
Yay! That was great.
Bye.